Hello and welcome. In tonight's Biz News Briefing, we take a deep dive into the company that accounts for 10% of the money that you've got invested in the share market. And if you don't know that you've got money invested in the JSE, well, if you've got a retirement fund or you put money into a pension, well, then it goes into the JSE, into equities, and 10% of that at least goes into a company called Prosus. They brought results out yesterday. And you will find out in the course of tonight's program why what is happening in China and what is going on in a European food delivery business called Just Eat Takeaway means a lot to you and your pocket. But first, let's pick up on the local stories. And Pepkor, that's the company that owns Pep, Ackermans, and Techie Town. Today released financial results for the 12 months to the end of September, and those numbers were good. The revenue was up 12% to 95 billion. I mean, those numbers are just so huge, it's hard to comprehend, isn't it? But it does show that in a tough economic climate, those companies that are discounting seem to be doing okay. The headline earnings per share there jumped by 23%. Who said that you can't get more efficient in the South African environment? The bad news is that it wasn't painless. The debtors cost essentially the money lost on bad loans that the Pepkor Group made were up by 62% to 4 billion rand. And consequently, they had to be ruthless with the underperformers and they closed down the Shoe City chain entirely. Now, here's a very interesting trading update from HCI, a company that's better known for its hotel interests and recently moving into the very exciting field of gas. Well, not so recently, really, because they brought out a trading update yesterday, which was incredibly confusing. It showed that the basic earnings per share were down 90%. But the headline earnings per share up 70%. Now, how do you reconcile the two of those? Well, it lies in the fact that HCI has been accumulating a stake in a company called Impact Oil and Gas. And in around July last year, they made another investment into it, this time of 454 million rand, which took their stake to over 50% in the oil and gas company. Because it went over 50%, everything that had been invested by HCI since 2014 was then brought into account in the income statement. And what that meant essentially was that they show a profit today of 4.5 billion rand on those investments. Essentially, they've been buying shares in the company, in Impact Oil and Gas, for 11 years now. When you go above 50%, as they have done in July last year, you've got to bring it all into account and the profit on those investments being very, very huge. And that went into last year's financial results, and so that messed up this year's comparison. But actually, the number that you need to look at is the jump of 70% in headline earnings per share. It's going places, this company. And then finally, in our corporate news for today, the Zeda Group brought out financial results. That is the company that owns the local franchises, not just here, but in 9 other African countries, for the Avis and Budget car rental operations. Operating profit, they jumped by 11% to 1.6 billion rand. The headline earnings per share, again showing efficiencies coming through, were up nearly 16%. And the star performer was the leasing division, driven by heavy commercial vehicles. So the leasing of heavy commercial vehicles, primarily into Greater Africa. So the trade that is happening from South Africa into other parts of the continent, from that information, is booming. On the downside, though, the car rental revenues were down by about 3.5%. And that's telling you that certainly in the financial year to the end of September, the tourism numbers weren't as exciting as we've seen already in October and November this year. So coming off a low base, you can anticipate that that side of the business, which is a, a key part of Zeta, is going to do a whole lot better in the next financial year. Bottom line, despite pressure on car sales, Zeta's diversified model and strict cost management has allowed them to deliver double-digit earnings growth. Shareholders will be well pleased and looking forward to an even better year coming up.
This is where the unthinkable happened. They just came here and took his car.
No. I sold it to them. What's this?
It's crime scene tape. Did they pay you at least?
Within 15 minutes, money was in my account.
Were you happy with the number they brought you?
I got almost the same price as what I paid for the car. Everything was easy, everything was painless.
Well, there you have it, South Africa. With We Buy Cars, you won't come short. How tall are you really?
1.93.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Well, let's get on to that top story for the day. And Prosus, which is the global e-commerce giant, and depending on what measurement you want to use, it's either weighted at 17% of the top 40 index on the JSE or 12% on SWIX, which is the one that takes out the free cash flows. However you want to look at it, it's an important part of the South African investors' setup, if you like, and of part of your portfolio. And that portfolio extends into pension funds and any money really that you're putting aside for the longer term. Prosus was born out of a South African media company called Naspers. And Naspers has now become, well, the South African operations anyway, become a rounding error in this huge international business, which in the around the time of the year 2000 got dead lucky by buying a 50% stake in a then 30-person company in China, in Hong Kong to be specific, called Tencent. Tencent's one of the giants in the world, and that investment one of the best ever made in history. Stephen Hurwitz of 361 follows the company closely because it is so important to South Africans and to the JSE as a whole. And he explains to us why yesterday's results are so important for all of us to pay attention to.
For many years, people bought Naspers and Prosus because it gave them exposure to Tencent, which is by far their largest asset. And that's a fantastic company. But all the other assets within Prosus and Naspers, there's a bit of a question mark. They didn't generate many profits. And the company had continued to spend capital on these acquisitions that weren't delivering for shareholders. But finally, last year, and the momentum's continued into this year, we're starting to see some of those e-commerce assets turn, and their revenue growth is fantastic. But pleasingly, there's profits that go along with that revenue growth. And now some of their largest businesses are profitable and growing rapidly. So this is great for investors. And over time, as those assets get bigger and bigger, we should see the discount to NAV narrow. As it becomes a Tencent plus story rather than a Tencent minus story.
Don't let the jargon of NAV and things like that confuse you. In essence, what he means by a Tencent minus story is that today, if you buy Prosus / Naspers shares, they're one and the same thing, but just two different companies, two different structures. If you buy those shares, you are buying essentially into Tencent, the Chinese company, for 65 cents in what every rand is worth in Tencent. So if you were to have some miracle, buy the whole of Prosus, sell off the Tencent shares at the current market price, you'd be selling them at a rand and only paying 65 cents. So it's quite important. And what it means is that the local management have performed so poorly that the international investors say, we think you're going to destroy value, so we're going to give you less for your shares than what your investment in Tencent is, despite the fact that you've got lots of other assets as well. Well, what's happened is that that finally is starting to turn around, and the destruction of value is becoming a creation of value.
Investors are much better off in Naspers Prosus today. than they were a couple of years ago. I think that the management team are going to make the right decisions to unlock value for shareholders, whether it's by driving improved profitability and revenue growth in their existing assets, or finding assets that strategically make sense within the stable, as opposed to just buying stuff that has no connection to their existing assets. I also wouldn't be too concerned. You mentioned earlier that it makes up 17% of the top 40. Most asset managers benchmark themselves to the CAPS FIX in South Africa, and that weighting fluctuates between 10 to 12%, depending on when rebalances are in the index. And I think that having 10 to 12% in the portfolio is not undue concentration risk. I think that it's one of the best assets on the JSE and will continue to be so for a significant period of time. I would be very comfortable having my money, and I do have my money, exposed to Naspers and Prosus.
And the reason for this, and the reason why Stephen is so optimistic, is because of the Brazilian Fabrizio Bloisi, who is now the CEO. He's been in the chair for 16 months.
So I think he's been a fantastic hire. You can see that they went more for an operator than a financial engineering type of individual. And that's what the business needed, because they needed someone who would get these businesses to grow their top line, improve their profitability, etc. Speaking to Fabrizio, you can just see how he's re-energized the organization. I think it's very easy for him to get people on his side in terms of the vision and what he sets out to deliver. But I also think that he's very firm in his approach. If people aren't delivering to his expectations, I think that he can, he is able to address that relatively quickly. So I think Fabrizio has done an excellent job. Before Fabrizio joined, the business was extremely siloed, and the people that were operating in one part of the business had no idea what people in the other part of the business were doing. And it's interesting, because they did have this AI lab within a process that could have warned about what was coming in terms of AI. And yet the old management team bought one or two businesses that had their fortunes directly impacted, and negatively so, by the growth in AI. So to have these different teams within business, within process, meeting and discussing what's going on, you hope that some of these blind spots are removed. And maybe it doesn't directly translate into improved profitability up front. It might result in just generally better decision making overall.
Fascinating story, isn't it? And you can get the full story on that in our Director's Cut, the full interview, and that is on biznews.com/briefing. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.